welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
Well, hallelujah. Praise God. It's a privilege to be in the house of God with the saints, where we can come, where we can minister, where we can hear what the Holy Ghost would say to us today. Because, you know, anything we need to hear, we don't need the doctrine of men. We don't need traditions of men. We don't need a bunch of ideas and private interpretations. What we need is wisdom and revelation brought by and through the ministry of the Holy Ghost, just like it says in Ephesians chapter 1, starting around the 15th, 16th verse, the Word of God says that we're to look for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of our understanding being opened or being filled with light, so that we might know what is the hope of His calling. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Ghost in our life and through our life. I realize two things. Many of you that are here today and that may listen to this online or watch the program or receive a copy of our CD through one means or another, many of you may already be familiar in this area. There are others that they have never really received any real instruction in this area, and for good reason. And that is because where they are, the teaching ministry that they're under, don't have any revelation on it themselves, and therefore don't teach about it. Well, you know, the Word of God says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And anything that we're going to see manifested in our life, in the realm of the Spirit, coming into the physical, anything that's going to be manifested is going to be done by faith, and that faith is going to be based on knowledge of the Word of God. We cannot believe God beyond our knowledge of His Word. And that means that we're unable to receive with any consistency by faith for anything where we don't know what the will of God is. And that includes the things of the Spirit, which is why the body of Christ today is so lacking in the power and the authority that we read in the book of Acts as the church should have manifested on a regular basis. And so I want us to look again at what the Word of God says in regards to these things. And it's very important that we keep our ears and our eyes open, our spirits open, that we put our minds down in any traditional, doctrinal, denominational thinking, set it aside, and let's go to what the Word says and hear what the Word of God says about this subject. Before we actually look at the Scriptures regarding this subject, I'd like to have you turn to the book of James, chapter 1, real fast. And let's just look at something, because it's going to be the basis as to how we actually listen and receive whatever the Word of God says in regards to this subject, and actually to any subject. In James chapter 1, starting with verse 19, it says this, reading out of the NIV translation. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept, or receive in one translation, humbly receive the engrafted word that is planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. We're told to humbly receive or accept the Word of God as it's planted in us, because that Word can save us. You see, that Word, when it's received properly, actually has the power to do in us or through us that which the Word of God actually says it can do. But it can only do that when we receive it. If we choose not to receive it, it will not work. And so it's very important for us to understand that our receiving of the Word, not just hearing, but our receiving of the Word is what will allow the Word to affect us, to actually have an effect. See, it does no good to read the Word of God and not receive it, any more than it does any good to hear the Word of God and not receive it. We know from Romans 10:17 that the Word of God says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, our faith becomes active as we hear the Word of God and receive it and then act upon it in faith. But you see, faith only comes by hearing and hearing only when one receives what is being heard. If we hear something and then dispute it or put a twist on it or make it fit what we believe instead of changing what we believe to make what we believe fit the Word, well, then it will have no effect. Now, Jesus said something to us, and it's very important, regarding the Word of God. He's talking about a parable of the seed, the parable of the sower, and he explains how the Word of God is the seed which is sown into the hearts of men, and it falls on different types of soil. And depending upon the type of soil that the Word of God falls on, in other words, depending upon the condition of the heart of the individual hearing the Word, that will determine whether or not the Word actually bears fruit. In other words, has an effect in that individual, in their life, or through them. And so in Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 24, Jesus said this, "Consider very carefully what you hear." He said, "Because with the measure that you use," in other words, the way that you hear it, "that is the measure that it will be measured to you and even more." So in other words, if we listen with a receiving heart, willing to accept what the Word says, not what men say about the Word, not what doctrines people have come up with to make an excuse for why the Word isn't working in their life, but if we listen to the Word of God, the measure that we listen to it and receive it, that's the measure that it will be given to us. In other words, that's the measure that it will have an effect in us. And he says in verse 25, "Whoever has will be given more." Did you hear that? Whatever revelation you have in regards to the truth of the Word of God that you receive, you'll get more. But he also said, "Whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him." Do you know that you can actually find yourself in a place to where you have less and less knowledge, less and less revelation regarding the things of God? How? By simply refusing to receive what the Word says and choosing instead to put your own opinion on it. Put your own private interpretation on it. Or listen to the interpretations of men. It's very important that we go to the Word. Now, let me tell you briefly a story that will illustrate this to a T. It's a personal story. See, I was born again as a young man, young teenager, 18 years old in 1970. And I started out believing and acting on what I read in the Word of God. See, I was convinced that the Bible was the Word of God. I began to read it, and the more I read it, the more I became convinced that it was the Word of God. And I believed it. Now, this is very important for you to understand. I believed it. I believed everything it said. And I began to act upon it. Now, this is what's called receiving the engrafted Word. That's what James talked about. Receiving the Word of God as it's planted in you. And it'll save you. In other words, it'll have an effect on you. Whatever it's talking about, whether it's talking about healing, whether it's talking about just eternal life, salvation, whether it's talking about supernatural supply and provision, deliverance, whatever it is, that Word will save you. And you see, I actually believed it and began to act on it, and guess what? I got the results because I believed what the Word of God said. Now, I didn't know much, but I knew that in John 14, around the 13th verse, Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do." See, I believe that. Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do." I actually believed that if I asked Jesus something in his name, he would do it. And you know, I did, and I got the results. I knew that He had said in John 16, around the 23rd verse, that He said, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He'll give it to you. I actually believed that as a young man. See, I didn't know much. I didn't have any theology. I hadn't gotten around people who didn't believe the Word, even though they were Christians. And so I actually believed what the Bible said. It was just me and my Bible. I was all alone reading the Word of God. Didn't have any doctrinal teachings, didn't have any dogma, didn't have any tenets of faith, didn't have any teaching on things. All I had was the Word of God. That's all I had. I just had the Bible. And I knew that Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He'll give it to you. And I knew in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, He said, for with God nothing is impossible. Praise God. And you know, I just began to act on that stuff. And I had miracles working. Here I am, a young Christian, don't know anything, but people are getting healed. Miracles are going on. I actually had miracles going on with the weather. Jesus, didn't He calm the storm, rebuke the wind? Well, you see, Jesus said, the works that I do, you can do too, and greater works. And I actually had that stuff operating in my life. Here I am, this young man, don't know anything except for what the Word says. The reason why is because I started out believing and acting on what I'd read in the Word of God. Just like Jesus said, consider carefully what you hear, because the measure that you use, that's the measure it'll be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has, more will be given. But then, you see, I moved, and I hooked myself up with a ministry that was getting people saved. You can call it a church if you like, but it was a particular ministry. I figured they knew more about things than I did. I knew I needed to be around Christians and people who were children of God. I knew that. That was just a desire in my heart. I didn't know it from the Word, but I knew that I needed to disassociate myself from my old acquaintances and get around the people of God. Well, unfortunately, this particular ministry, they didn't believe what I believed. And so I began to hear many of the traditional denominational doctrines that they had from the denomination they were associated with. And I'll just tell you right out, those doctrines were filled with error, and they were filled with unbelief. And so I began to listen to what they said about what the Bible says, instead of listening to what the Bible said. I found out that according to them and their teaching, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, was not for today. It had disappeared with the early church. They even said things like, the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues is actually, when it's manifested today, they said that's of the devil. That's not for today. That disappeared. And they showed me in 1 Corinthians 13 where it says that there will come a time when tongues will cease. And they said that time is now. And if that was true, then the rest of the gifts of the Spirit as well are not in operation. And so I began to see and hear and then believe that the power of God was not for me today. And guess what happened? Well, the results that I was having stopped. No more miracles, no more power. Well, why? Because Jesus said, whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. When you begin to move into unbelief, in other words, when you begin to lose your faith and confidence and trust and belief in what God has said in His Word about Himself and about you, you'll lose whatever you have. Because whatever we receive is going to be through faith. And He explained it even more so in Mark chapter 7, starting around the 8th verse. He said, laying aside the commandment of God, that's His Word, you hold instead to the tradition or doctrines of men, and you make the Word of God of no effect through your tradition. In other words, you take all the power out of the Word of God to do what the Word of God says. Because when you decide instead to hold to the doctrines or the teachings or the opinions of men, instead of what God has said, all the power of the Word is taken out of it. It no longer has an effect in your life because, you see, you don't believe it. You're no longer receiving the engrafted Word, but instead you're receiving the traditions and the doctrines of men. And so for almost a decade, I was powerless. I had no power. I don't mind telling you that my life as a Christian was miserable and frustrating because of it. Now that's just the truth. Just like many today. Miserable, filled with misery and frustration. Certainly no power, certainly wasn't an effective witness. I would tell people about Jesus, but I couldn't demonstrate anything and didn't have much effect on them because they could just look at me and see that there's no power of God working in my life. But then you see, after years of frustration, I began once again to believe and act upon the Word again. In other words, I began to once again receive the engrafted Word. Now, this is important. Once again, I began to receive the engrafted Word. In other words, I began to believe and act upon what God had said, not what people were saying about what God had said. And guess what? I began to have the results again. And the more I received it, and the more I acted upon it in faith, the more results I had, just like Jesus said. He said, to whosoever has, more will be given. And so when it came to the things of the Spirit of God, as I began to study it and look at it with the eyes of faith to say, this is for me. It hasn't passed away. This is for today. I can do this. I can be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I can do this and have the evidence of speaking in unknown tongues. I can move and operate in the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. I can move and operate in prophecy and special faith and working of miracles and gifts of healings and discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation. I can do that because with God all things are possible. And as I began to receive that again, I began to operate in it again. And so can you, by the way. We're talking about the things of the Spirit. And it's very important for us to understand that when it comes to the Spirit of God, God has said in 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, verse 7, the Word of God says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." One translation says timidity. God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want to focus in on that spirit of power. According to the Word of God, we've been given a spirit of power. Not one of timidity, but one of power. I associate that word timidity from when I was a child. See, I grew up, I was very short as a child. I was small in stature. As you can see, I grew. But as a child, all through elementary school and even into middle school and high school, I was very short in stature. That means that most people were taller than I. And you know, in school, there are such a thing as bullies. And because of that, those bullies like to pick on smaller people. It's just something that happens with children who are not trained properly. And you see, because of my stature, I had a spirit of timidity. I was timid. I basically was afraid of everything and everyone because I knew that I did not have the power to overcome any of these individuals who were bigger than I, especially when they would come together two and three at a time. I had no power to do that, from a natural means anyway. Well, you see, however, as I got bigger and I began to understand, now I'm as big as they are, if not bigger than them, I no longer had to be timid and afraid of them. Because I could look in at them and I could look at me and I could see I was bigger than them. I had more power than them. I now had power. And so now you see, I didn't have to be afraid of them. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to the things of God. The Word of God says, "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." And the Word of God says, God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but one of power. We have been given a spirit of power. And yet the truth is that even though the Word of God tells us that we've been given a spirit of power, that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, and that we are more than conquerors, Romans 8:37 says that, most Christians today have little or no power operating in their life, and they fail to overcome even the most minor trials through the supernatural power of God that's available to them. I mean, if they have a physical ailment, doesn't matter what it is, even something as minor as a headache, they run to the doctor or take an aspirin. Now, there's nothing wrong with aspirin or doctors, but there is a supernatural power that's available to every Christian to overcome those things. If they have a material need, instead of believing God to add it to them, they just go out and charge it because they have no other means or idea of how to obtain it through the supernatural power of God. They'll just go charge it and run up their debt. If they have relationship problems or marital problems or anything like that, what do? It ends up in divorce. Instead of operating in forgiveness and the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts, instead of moving in the supernatural power where God is able to restore marriages and restore relationships and bring families together, not separate them, there's no power operating in their life. And so they're not able to overcome even the simplest things, much less those bigger trials or tribulations. Well, why is there so little power? Well, we've already seen that in Mark chapter 7. Jesus said, laying aside the commandment of God, that's his word, making the word of God no effect through their tradition, they take all the power out of it. All the power out of the word of God to do by the Spirit of God what God said could be done in them and through them. And so, brothers and sisters, as we study this subject, I just want to encourage you, exhort you to understand that we need to receive the word, what the word of God says in regards to this subject. If we want the power of God activated in our lives, then we must receive it. We need to study it and find out the truth in regards to the spirit of power that's been given to us. Read John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16, Romans 8, 26 and 27, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14, and so on. Read what God has said about the Holy Spirit, about His ministry, about Him in us, and the power that He's given us. We need to study it and find out the truth. We need to ask God for understanding regarding these things. Stop looking to men and start looking to God. We need to believe what is written as it is written and not as tradition or denominational doctrine might teach. Because it's only when we lay aside the traditions of men and instead take the Word of God that the Word of God will have the power to act in our life. And really important is this. We need to begin to associate ourselves with those who are getting the results, the promises. You know, it does no good to sit down and talk to somebody about the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the things of the Spirit of God who have no clue about it themselves, who don't believe it, who don't operate in it, have no idea how to access it or move in it in faith. That does no good. That's like asking a poor person how to get rich. He's not going to give you any information that's going to help you. If he could, he would be using it. And so we need to begin to associate ourselves with those who are getting the results. Get yourself into a place where the Spirit of God is in operation. Get yourself under a ministry where the Spirit of God is in demonstration, where they believe it and where they teach it, because the Word of God says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't come from hearing people talk against it. It comes by hearing people who teach it correctly and properly, who believe what the Word of God says, not what some twisted doctrine may say. Because, see, we've been given a spirit of power. We have been given a spirit of power. Unfortunately, most Christians are lacking in power. Not because they haven't been given the spirit of power. There are two major reasons or major causes why most Christians today are lacking power. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it says this, "Now, brethren, concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant." What a statement that is. Here is the Holy Ghost speaking to the church, to the body of Christ, through the Apostle Paul, and he says, when it comes to spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. Well, now I'm reading out of the King James, and there are a few things about this passage that I want to make clear to you. Because very often, when we read the King James translation, there are words and phrases that are added by the translators that are not found in the original manuscript. But they are added by the translators in hope of imparting to us some understanding. Unfortunately, in many cases, all it did was add confusion. But here's what I want you to see about it. If you have your King James, where it says concerning spiritual gifts, you'll see that the word gifts is in italics. The reason for that is because the word gifts does not appear in the original text. As I said, it was added by the translators with the intention of giving the reader more understanding of the passage. But you see, the literal translation from the Greek of the phrase spiritual gifts, as found in the King James anyway, is actually spirituals. And it actually refers to things of and pertaining to the Spirit. Now, very often you'll hear that translated as saying things of and pertaining to the Spirit of God. But that's not correct. You see, the translation literally means things of and pertaining to the Spirit. Well, it is true that we are not to be ignorant of things of and pertaining to the Spirit of God. God is a spirit. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. And the last thing God wants us to do is to be ignorant regarding Him and His Holy Spirit. But there's something else we need to understand. We are spirits. You're a spirit. I'm a spirit. And there are things regarding us as spirits living in a body and having a soul, a mind. There are things about us that we're not to be ignorant of either. And in addition to that, there are other spirits. There are the rulers of darkness. There are principalities and powers. There are demons, spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not to be ignorant of those spirits either, the spirits of darkness. And so you see, in this passage, where the Word of God, when translated literally from the Greek, where it says that He would not have us ignorant regarding things of and pertaining to the Spirit, He's talking about any spirit. Amen. Now, there's something else I want you to see there, and it says, I would not have you ignorant. That simply means to be without knowledge or understanding. Now, you know, it's one thing to have information. It's another thing to understand the information. And ignorant can be one of two things, either lacking information or lacking understanding of the information. Lacking knowledge or lacking understanding of what you know. And so it's important for us to not only know what the Word of God says, but to understand what the Word of God says. And again, this is why there's so much confusion in the body of Christ today regarding things of and pertaining to the Spirit. There is a lack of knowledge. There is a great lack of knowledge in the body of Christ regarding the things of the Spirit. And as we continue through the study, you'll see exactly what I mean. And I guarantee you that if you'll stay with us, if you'll pay attention, if you'll listen with your open heart, if you'll keep your eyes open to the truth of the Word of God and have your mind renewed to the Word of God rather than holding on to some traditional thinking that denies the power of the Holy Ghost in your life and the ministry of the Holy Ghost in your life, if you will stay with us, this will radically change your life. You will find yourself walking in the things of God that God has supernaturally preordained to be in your place. Hallelujah. Now listen, Paul said, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Now, regarding spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. Let's look at that translation and put it the way we would translate it properly with an understanding of what the original manuscript said. It would go like this. Now, concerning things of and pertaining to the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I would not have you ignorant or lacking knowledge and understanding. Now, even as I said before, the unfortunate thing is that when it comes to the body of Christ, most Christians are lacking knowledge and understanding regarding even the most basic things of and pertaining to the Spirit. As a matter of fact, even many so-called Pentecostal and charismatic circles do little more than acknowledge the existence of the Holy Spirit. All they do in many cases is just simply acknowledge the existence of the Holy Spirit, but have very little, if any, knowledge of the things of and pertaining to the Spirit. And very often, much of what they do believe regarding Him, that is the Holy Spirit, and His ministry in and through the church, much of what they believe is incorrect. And so consequently, they have very little manifestation of the Spirit on a consistent basis in their life, in their church, in their ministry. Now that's just the truth. And it should be evident to anybody who's in those places, you should be able to recognize it immediately. Amen. I'm not trying to step on any toes. I'm not criticizing anyone. We're dealing with an issue. We're not dealing with a ministry. We're not dealing with a denomination or a person. We're dealing with issues. And it's very important for us to understand that because, you see, it doesn't do us any good to put another man's candle out. It won't make ours burn any brighter. Amen. And so we're not speaking evil about anyone. We're dealing with an issue here. Praise God. And you know, the best place to start when it comes to the things of the Holy Spirit in the church age is to start with Jesus. See, because we're talking about the New Testament. We're not talking about the Old Testament and the ministry of the Holy Ghost in the old way. Because the old way is different from the new way. And we'll find out more about that later as we go through this. But there is a drastic difference between the way the Holy Ghost operated in the Old Covenant and the way He operates in the New Testament church. And many people are still trying to operate in the way the Old Covenant operated. And that won't work because the Old Covenant has passed away. And so the best thing to do is to start with Jesus. Let's find out what happened with Jesus. Let's find out what Jesus did and how Jesus did it, because He's our example. The Word of God says we're supposed to look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We're supposed to follow after Him and imitate Him. And the way He did it is the way we're supposed to do it. And if we're not doing it the way He did it in regards to the new covenant, then we're not doing it correctly. And we won't have the results. Amen. Let's look at Acts 10, verse 38, because this gives us, in a summarized form, the ministry of the Holy Ghost in the life of Jesus. It says this, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Now notice something, that it was the anointing of the Holy Ghost with power that enabled Jesus of Nazareth to go about, do good, and heal all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Well, let's just do this. I want to look at this verse. I want to take it apart. And I want to examine some of the phrases and find out what they mean. For example, notice the words or the phrases anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, the word Jesus of Nazareth, and the phrase God was with him. We'll start with number 3. It says, for God was with him. Let me ask you a question. Wasn't God always with him? Well, the answer to that question is yes. Just like God is everywhere. But apparently, this anointing of the Holy Ghost somehow or another enabled God to work through him, even though God was with him. Did you hear that? Even though God was with him, it enabled God to work through him. This anointing is what enabled God to work through Jesus. Otherwise, why would it even be in there? Because it says that he was able to go about, do good, and heal all that were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him through the anointing of the Holy Ghost and power. Praise God. By His Spirit. You see, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with His Spirit and with power. And that enabled Jesus to go about in the power of God, the power of the Spirit, to do good, to heal all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Now, I want you to notice something else about this too. The phrase Jesus of Nazareth. Did you notice in Acts 10:38, the Word of God says that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now, this is so significant. If we can just get a handle on this, we'll notice something. See, it does not say that God anointed Jesus, the Son of God. Did you hear me? It was very specific in saying Jesus of Nazareth. Why not say Jesus, the Son of God? Well, because Jesus, as the Son of the living God, the King of glory, would have no need to be anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power because he'd already have both. Amen. You see, Jesus, as the Son of God, was already anointed with the Holy Ghost. He already had power. Amen. The Word of God says that it was by the Word of God, whom we know from John chapter 1 is referring to Jesus Christ. It says that the worlds were created. Jesus created them. I would call that having power. Well, why would Jesus need to be anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power? Well, we find that answer. It's real simple. If you'll go ahead and look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, I'll read it to you. It says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God." Now listen, Jesus was in the form of God before he came to earth. He had power. He was in the form of God. But it says, "Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him not the form of God on earth, but the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Jesus, when he was born on this planet, was made in the likeness of men, not in the likeness of God, in the sense of being all powerful. He was born just like a normal man. and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Now, one translation says emptied himself. He emptied himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. What would he empty himself of? All of his power, all of his glory. Jesus emptied himself of those things and was born as a man, in the fashion of a man, just like you. That's why it was necessary for him to be anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. Because without that anointing, without the Holy Ghost and power, he would not have been able to go about and do good and heal all that were oppressed of the devil and do those signs and wonders and those miracles. Amen. As a matter of fact, we can look at that phrase, anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and understand something. Now, this is important. There is no record of Jesus ever doing even one miracle before he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. Did you hear what I said? There is no record of Jesus ever doing even one miracle before he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. As a matter of fact, we know this because John chapter 2 verse 11 says that the miracle at the wedding where the water was changed into wine was the beginning or the first of the miracles that he did, and that only came after he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. Praise God. You see, we're looking at Jesus. How did Jesus do things? Well, he was able to do them because he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. Praise God. Glory to God. And he never did anything until he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. Somebody says, well, didn't that happen when I got born again? Let me just say this. How many people do you know that are born again that have never done anything? They have no power in their lives. If you're like me, I know many. They've been born again. They have the Spirit. They've been indwelt with the Spirit of God. Amen. They've been made a new creation. They have the seal of the Spirit, the down payment, the deposit. Amen. But they walk about in defeat. Apparently, being born again is not enough. Well, let's look at it a little bit further. Praise God. You see, it was only after Jesus had been baptized with the Holy Spirit that he began his ministry. Now, I'll say that again because it's important. It was only after Jesus had been baptized. That means to be immersed in. Not just to have the Holy Spirit, but to be immersed in, to be full of the Holy Ghost. It was only after Jesus had been baptized with the Holy Spirit that he began his ministry. Let's look at Luke chapter 3, starting with verse 21, says this. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, we're talking about being baptized with water here now, after being baptized and praying that heaven was opened, and then came something else. The Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven and said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, that water baptism wasn't enough. That didn't do it. Amen. He needed to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and he was. Now look at the difference here. Let's just continue the same story, looking over to Luke chapter 4, starting verse 1 through 2. It says this, And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost. And you need to circle that, underline it, and highlight it. Because it doesn't say now Jesus having the Holy Ghost. It says Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Being full of the Holy Ghost came up out of the Jordan, this is after being baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Listen, he was full of the Spirit. It wasn't enough just to have the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. And what difference did it make after he was filled with the Spirit? Look at Luke chapter 4, go down to verse 14 and 15. It says, And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. In the power of the Spirit. In the power of the Spirit. Let me tell you something. God wants you to be walking in the power of the Spirit. There is a power of the Spirit that's available to every believer. It's what Jesus walked in, and it's what you and I are supposed to be walking in. And I've seen so many people think, well, that Jesus, he could do anything because he was Jesus. No, we've already seen that Jesus never did even one miracle before he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. Not even one. And it was the anointing of the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost, that enabled him to do what he did. As a matter of fact, Jesus gave all the credit of everything that was done, not to himself. He didn't say, hey, I'm Jesus, I'm the Son of God. Of course I can do this stuff. Jesus didn't say that. What did he say in John chapter 14, verse 10? He said, what? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I don't speak of myself, but it's the Father that lives in me. He's the one that's doing the works. Who did Jesus say was doing the works? The Father in him. Who would that be? That would be the Spirit of God. This is important for us to understand. If we're going to walk in these last days, overcoming the things that come upon this planet, there is illness, there is sickness, there's disease, there's pestilence, there's floods, there's earthquakes. There are so many things. The Word of God says dangerous times, perilous times in the last days. And the only way that we're going to walk through these successfully, victoriously, is through the power of the Spirit. To have the Father in us, able to work in us and through us in our lives. Now, this is so important to every one of us, starting with the next group of people. See, Jesus came and showed us an example. He showed us how it was done. He told us how it was done by Him. And then there was a next group of people. We call them the disciples, the apostles. Amen. They stayed with Him. They watched Him. They saw Him. And Jesus said to them that it was just as important for them to receive the same power that He had if they were going to go out and to fulfill the plan that God had for them in their lives. Amen. I'm just telling you what the Word says. We know that the disciples were told, go, preach. But you know, most people are not aware of the fact that even though Jesus said go, He said don't go until you have been endued with power from on high. Did you know that? Most people are not aware of the fact that the disciples, the apostles, were told not to go anywhere and not to do anything, but rather to wait until they were endued with power from on high. You can read that for yourself in Luke 24, verse 49. Now they're told to go, and yet He said, wait. I want you to go, but wait. Wait until you're endued with power from on high. Now, you know, most people have the misconception that the disciples received the Spirit of God in a sense of being indwelt with the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost. Most individuals are under that misconception. And I have to show you by the Word of God that that's not true. You see, it's not according to Scripture. And by the way, Scripture should always be the only source for reference and for instruction when it comes to the things of God. We should never be looking to another explanation. We should never be looking to another denominational or traditional line of thinking or thought. We should always look to the Scripture. And we can find some things out in the Scripture that will give us the truth and it will set us free. You see, believe it or not, the disciples were born again before the day of Pentecost, though many people believe that's when it would happen because they were filled with the Spirit. But the Word of God says they were filled with the Spirit. Doesn't say that they received the Spirit in the sense of being born again or indwelt. Says they were filled with the Spirit if you read it. But most people are unaware that the experience in the upper room on the day of Pentecost was not when the disciples first received the Holy Ghost. Most people have no idea of this. You see, if you turn to John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus, after speaking to them about some things, said this. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, let me ask you a question. If Jesus was standing in your presence and He said to you, receive ye the Holy Ghost and breathed on you, let me ask you a question. Do you think you would? Well, of course you would. Amen. If Jesus breathes on you and says, receive the Holy Ghost, you will. Amen. Well, I'll tell you something. That's when they were born again. Not on the day of Pentecost. How do I know that? Because, see, the Word of God says, no man puts a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill up takes away from the garment, and the tear is made even worse. And it says, neither do men put new wine into old wine bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runs out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles so that both are preserved. Now, you can read that for yourself over in Matthew 9, over in Mark chapter 2, over in Luke chapter 5. You can't put new wine into old wine bottles. It'll break. And Jesus could not put the Holy Ghost into the old, unregenerate spirit of the disciples. The only way for those disciples to receive the Holy Ghost would be for them to be born again as a new creation, as a new spirit. That's the only way. And by the way, it's the receiving of the Holy Ghost through faith in Christ that enables an individual to become born again. Because the Word of God says that it's the Spirit that quickens. Amen. It's the Spirit that gives life. Praise God. And so you see, these disciples were born again before the day of Pentecost. Well, that right there will absolutely addle the traditional religious mind who thinks that it all happens at the same time. And it will cast down any of those heresies that believe or teach being born again is the same as being filled with the Spirit or baptized in the Holy Ghost. That right there would be enough to prove that it's not the same. It's a separate experience. It can happen almost simultaneously in some places and very often within a very short period of time. But it is a unique and separate experience to be born again and to be filled with the Spirit or baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. By the way, if you have on your plate a couple items, you can put more than one or two items on your fork and stick them in your mouth at the same time. But they're still separate things. And it's the same thing with the indwelling of the Holy Ghost and be anointed with power through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And so let me say this again. We know from John chapter 20, verse 22, that the disciples were born again, that they had received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when Jesus breathed on them, yet they knew that Jesus had said that there was something more than the initial indwelling. In other words, a separate experience, and that something more, or that separate experience, included receiving power. Why? Because Jesus said, wait until you receive power from on high. Now, they'd already been born again, and yet he said, okay, you're born again, but now I want you to wait to receive the power. You know, Jesus is saying the same thing today. Get born again, but I want you to receive the power, because without that power, you're not going to be any good on this earth. You're not going to be able to do what I've called you to do. You're not going to be the witness that I want you to be. You're not going to be able to demonstrate the truth of the gospel through signs and wonders following, just like I did. You're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to have the power to overcome those things that come upon you. You're not going to have the power to walk in divine health and healing. You're not going to have the power to walk in the supernatural provision and supply of God without the Holy Ghost. So wait for the power. Get the power. Amen. He said that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. That's why the disciples waited. You see, the disciples knew that they had been indwelt with the Holy Spirit. What they wanted was to be full of the Holy Ghost and filled with power, baptized in the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist said in Matthew 3, around the 11th verse, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. And he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Praise God, when we repent from our sins, glory to God, and we're baptized in water, praise God, we're born again. Praise God for that baptism of repentance. Praise God for that initial being born again. That's the thing that gives us eternal life. But God wants you to have a whole lot more than just an existence through eternity. He wants you to be able to walk in power. He wants you to be able to walk in the power of His Spirit. Praise God. Even the Apostle Paul recognized the power of the Holy Spirit in his ministry. Now, how powerful was his ministry? Considering he wrote the majority of the New Testament, I would say that the Apostle Paul knew some things. Amen. Praise God. And look what he had to say. In Romans chapter 5, verse 19 says this, through mighty signs and wonders, we're talking about power here, and look at what he says. He said, by the power of the Spirit of God. How did those mighty signs and wonders come? By the power of the Spirit of God. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Well, apparently, without those signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, he would not have been able to fully preach the gospel. He only would have been able to partially preach the gospel of Christ. You stick with me, you'll find out that just telling people about Jesus is not fully preaching the gospel. Though we have come to believe that. But that's not what the Word of God said. Amen. I said, that's not fully preaching the Word of God. Because the Word of God, you see, when Jesus talked about it, he said this, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils." Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 10 that as we go to preach, to heal, to cleanse, to raise the dead, and cast out devils, that's fully preaching the gospel of Christ. And that's what Paul meant when he said, "Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about until Illyricum, I fully preach the gospel of Christ." Let me ask you a question. Are you fully preaching the gospel of Christ? And if not, why not? Because most people are ignorant when it comes to the things of the Spirit of God. They don't know. Is it their fault? In most cases, no. In most cases, it's because they're not being taught. See, the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 4 says, "God has put in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." The job of the ministry is to teach the truth regarding this thing. But if the ministry doesn't know, if they don't have it operating in their life, if they are not walking in knowledge and understanding of this, how are they going to teach you? The answer is they're not. Amen. That's why it's so important for us to pray for our pastors, to pray for our teachers, so that they would be filled with wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of these things so they can teach us. Now, that doesn't exclude us from any responsibility of being able to learn it ourselves, because the Word of God tells us to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're supposed to study it for ourselves. We have some responsibility. But Paul recognized the power of the Holy Spirit in his ministry. Listen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, around the fourth verse, Paul said, "When I came to you," he said, "I didn't come to you with a whole bunch of just good-sounding words, enticing words of man's wisdom." He said, "But my speech and my preaching came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." See, the Apostle Paul came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, just like Jesus. Jesus didn't just teach a whole bunch of words. He demonstrated the power of God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There was power. In Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica in chapter 1, verse 5, he says pretty much the same thing. He said, "For our gospel didn't come to you in word only." Isn't that a shame that so many Christians today, when they're trying to witness or preach the gospel to somebody, to share the gospel, all it comes is a bunch of words. That's all they have. But nothing to back it up. There's no power operating in their life. There's no demonstration. They can't demonstrate it. They can't talk about the goodness of God when they're so far in debt they can't even pay their light bill. How can you talk about the goodness of God and the power of God to heal when you're sick? Amen. Now, this is not meant to put you under condemnation. That's not at all. But rather to open your eyes to see some things so that you can walk in it, so that you can access what God has for you. And Paul said, "Our gospel didn't come to you in word only, but in power and of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, so you would know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." You see, the power of the Spirit in your life, working in you and working through you, will enable people to recognize what manner of men you are. Christians, children of God, representatives of the Most High God, ambassadors for Christ, praise God. That's what the power of the Spirit is supposed to do for you. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, so that you would know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Glory to God. This is good news. I'm excited about this. You know the good thing about this? The good news is Jesus told us that we would receive power too. Glory to God. That's the good news. Now, here's where I want you to open your ears, because we're talking about you. We're talking about me. We're talking about us. We're talking about it right here, right now, today. Look, in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 19, it says this, "And it shall come to pass in the last days," says God. Praise God, we are in the last days. Those last days refer to the generation of people that are going to usher in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and very few people will debate or dispute the fact that we are in the last days. And if we are in the last days, then we need to pay attention to this, because it says, "It shall come to pass in the last days," says God, "that I'll pour out my Spirit upon all people." upon all flesh, it says in the King James, talking about people. Upon all people, that includes you. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they'll prophesy. And I'll show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath. Listen, he's talking about prophesying, talking about miracles, talking about wonders. Who is doing them? The people. That's why God's pouring out his spirit. Because God wants the people on this planet that are representing him, that are preaching the gospel of Christ, to demonstrate the goodness and the power of God, not just in word, but with power, with signs, wonders, miracles. That's why it says in Acts 1:8, it says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be able to be my witnesses. Praise God. How are we going to be an effective witness without the power of God in our life? How are we going to be able to get out there and demonstrate the Spirit of God, the goodness of God, the power of God, without the power of God operating in us and through us? Well, the answer to that question is we're not. That's the answer to the question. And somebody says, well, you know, that was for the early church. Well, I'll tell you this. First of all, I see nowhere in the Word of God where it talks about an early church, middle church, and late church. I don't see that anywhere. That's something the traditional denominational thinking has brought up as an excuse for them failing to walk in the power of God. But that's not scriptural. And it's important for you to understand that. You go into the Word and you won't see it either. I don't have an early body and a late body. I've got my body. And we are the body of Christ. There isn't an early body of Christ and a late body of Christ, because when you talk about the church, that's what you're talking about. There's the body of Christ, and it says we're all one. Doesn't say we're separate. Well, that was them and this is us. It says we're all one. There's just one body. And furthermore, in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, speaking of the power of the Holy Ghost, speaking of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, it says this, for the promise is to you, to your children, and to all those that are afar off, even as many as our Lord God shall call. Listen, when it talks about those that are far off, he's not talking about those that were in China. Distance as far as natural mileage is concerned. He's not talking about how many kilometers they are from Jerusalem. He's talking about a far off generationally, because he says to you and to your children and to all those that are afar off. This promise was not just to them and their children, but it was to all those that were to come, as many as our God shall call. Did God call you? The answer is yes. Amen. You answered the call. Praise God. And you're a child of God. Why? Because God called you. So this promise is for you, glory to God. See, this power is for us. And in order for us to access the power, walk in the power, we need to make sure that we're not ignorant of the things pertaining to the power of the Spirit. We have to have some information on this. Amen. That's the only way we're going to do it, praise God. Now somebody might say, well, I'm doing just fine. Why would I even need it? Listen. Let me just share something with you. Everything that the Lord does in us and through us is by His Spirit. Everything. You couldn't get born again without the Spirit of God. And you're certainly not going to walk in victory without the Spirit of God. That's just not going to happen. See, in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, God said this. He said, it's not by might and it's not by power. By your own power, in other words. In other words, it doesn't matter how many of you get together. It's not by might and it's not by power. He says, it's by my Spirit. And everything that God does in us and through us is by His Spirit. Did you know that all of creation was done by the Spirit of God? If you read Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth empty and without form. And it says, and the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the waters. What was happening? The Spirit of God was waiting for God to speak. And when God spoke, let there be light, bam, the Spirit went into operation and there was light. And everything that God does in us and through us is the same way He did it in the beginning, by His Spirit. God said so, Zechariah 4, 6. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit. And seeing as how God doesn't change, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, He's not going to change His method today for you. Anything that we want is going to be done by His Spirit, and it's going to be received by us through faith. It started with salvation. You couldn't be born again without it, without the Spirit of God. Amen. But it doesn't stop there. We have a supply of power to pray effectively. Do you know that the Bible tells us that we do not know what to pray for as we ought? Did you know that the Bible tells us that we do not know as a rule, most Christians do not know what to pray for like they should. Well, how can you pray effectively if you don't even know what to pray for? Think about this. You see, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, which most Christians today are not even familiar with. They don't even know this passage. They don't even know it's there. And those that do, most of them don't have any idea what it means. But let's look at it. It says this. In Romans chapter 8, starting with the 26th verse, it says this. In the same way, the Spirit. Now underline that. It says the Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit of God helps us in our infirmities or our weakness. Helpeth our infirmities, King James says. NIV says, helps us in our weaknesses. Because we do not know what we should pray for as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes with us with groans that words cannot express. The actual translation there of the Greek, when you study it out, says, in words that cannot be articulated in a known language. Let me say that again. The Spirit Himself intercedes with us with groans that cannot be articulated in a known language. Well, if it can't be articulated in a known language, then it must be articulated in an unknown language. Amen. Because he said, known language. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans which words cannot express, and He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Do you know that we have been given a supply of power by the Spirit of God where we can pray effectively for the things that we should in a way that will bring about the results that we desire? But it's done by the Spirit. We get a little bit more information from that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. And it says this, reading out of the Amplified translation, it says this, if I pray, that's right, pray in an unknown tongue, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my mind is unproductive. In other words, it bears no fruit and helps no one to understand it. It's talking about praying in an unknown tongue. It's not talking about the ministry gift of speaking in tongues that's described previously in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's talking about a supply of the Spirit that is given to every believer to be able to pray effectively about the things that they should in accordance with God's will, as described in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. It's a supply of power to pray effectively by the Spirit. If I pray in an unknown tongue, doesn't say speak, it says pray in an unknown tongue. Now, of course, praying is nothing more than speaking unto God. It is speaking, but it's speaking unto God. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, even though my mind is unproductive, bearing no fruit and not helping me to understand it. We don't need to be able to understand what we're praying for to be able to pray effectively. In other words, you may not understand it, but that doesn't mean that it's not effective. It doesn't mean that God doesn't hear it, and it doesn't mean that God doesn't understand it, because He does. And that goes back to Romans chapter 8, verse 26, where it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, because we don't know what to pray for like we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with us with groans that cannot be expressed in an articulated or known language. And then He that searches our hearts, that would be God, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. You want to pray according to God's will? Pray in the Spirit as the Word of God has given us the power to do it by His Spirit. Amen. You see, we have a supply of the Spirit. This is the power that every Christian needs, and this is why so many are so ineffective when it comes to praying effectively. Amen. What about guidance and instruction? Well, we know from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, it says that we have given unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You want wisdom? You want guidance? You want instruction? You better not be ignorant regarding the things of and pertaining to the Spirit. You better be well acquainted and intimate with the voice of the Holy Spirit, because there's a lot of other different voices out there. There's voices of men and there's voices of other spirits. The Word of God says there's many voices in this world. And you better be able to recognize the difference. But you know, most people don't. They don't have a clue when the Spirit's speaking to them. They have no knowledge. And Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Amen. And if we want wisdom and guidance and instruction, the Word of God tells us it's going to come to us by His Spirit. Word of God in Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit. We're not supposed to be led by circumstances. We're not supposed to be looking at worldly things and making our decisions based on what we see. Now, there is safety in the multitude of counselors, but the final word should come from God, by His Spirit. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they're foolishness to him. That does nothing for us. If we're not able to hear and recognize the voice of God when He speaks to us by His Spirit. That's why so many people don't know what to do. They're so confused most of the time. Christians, I mean. They don't know whether they should stay where they are or change jobs. They don't know whether they should move or stay where they are. They have no idea who to marry or who not to marry. They have no idea because they're not able to hear, recognize the difference between the Spirit of God and other voices. This is why it's important in the life of a Christian. You know that we can't even witness effectively without the Spirit of God. The Word of God in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you be my witnesses." The reason why so many people are able to even witness with any power is because they've never received any power. They have no effectiveness. They're not able to speak to people with any boldness. They're not able to demonstrate the goodness and the truth of the gospel because they have no power. We can't even be an effective witness according to the Word of God. Not that we don't have words. We can say words. But you and I both know that in most cases, in most Christians, they can talk a blue streak and nothing happens because they're not speaking by the power of the Holy Ghost. They're not working and speaking by revelation of the Holy Ghost and dealing with that person, not just on a mental level, but on a spiritual level, which is by the power of the Spirit. Instead, they end up having a debate about the Bible. That's not spiritual. That has nothing to do with God. God, matter of fact, says to avoid disputations of the faith. We're not supposed to argue with somebody about the faith. That doesn't mean that everybody will go ahead and agree with you. But if you want to witness in the power of the Holy Ghost, you need to have the power of the Holy Ghost operating in your life. Amen. What about healing? The Word of God tells us in Mark chapter 16, it says, "These signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak another tongue. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover." Well, let me ask you a question. How in the world are you going to do any kind of healing without the power of the Holy Ghost working in your life and through you? That's why it doesn't happen. But you know, every Christian, the Word of God says, "These signs will follow them that believe in my name." Do you believe in the name of Jesus? Well, then you should be able to do these things. Every one of us, every Christian should be able to do it. It's part of the demonstration of the Spirit and power so that their faith is not rested in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, according to 1 Corinthians. And this is the power of God in demonstration. That's why the Word of God says, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." How are we going to walk in divine health without the power of God operating in our life to enable us to walk in divine health? How are we personally going to receive healing for things that are on us if we can't access this power? But you see, most Christians, instead of operating in the power, just simply acknowledge the existence of the power. In other words, instead of being able to operate in the power, they just simply acknowledge the existence of the power. Why? Because they're lacking knowledge and understanding of the things pertaining to the Spirit. Amen. Deliverance. There are people out there that are addicted to alcohol, addicted to cigarettes, addicted to pornography, addicted to gambling, bound up in things, unforgiveness, bound up in bitterness and resentment, bound up in things. They need deliverance. Well, how are they going to be delivered without the power of God? The Word of God in Isaiah 59:19 says, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him." Well, how are we going to allow the Spirit of God to operate in us and through us to bring us into that place of victory when we have no knowledge or little knowledge or what we believe is incorrect regarding the things of the Spirit? Well, let's just be honest. It's not going to happen. And that's why so many Christians today are walking and living in a life of defeat and failure. What about financial and material supply? The power to prosper. The Word of God says this in Deuteronomy 8:18. He says, "You'll remember the Lord your God because it's He that gives you the power to get wealth that He can establish the covenant." The Word of God says, "My God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." It comes through the Spirit, through the wisdom and the guidance and the operation and the supply of the Spirit. According to Philippians 1:19, the Word of God says, "And I know that this too shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit." There is a supernatural supply of the Spirit for provision, for deliverance, for health, for healing, for guidance, for instruction. It's a supernatural supply of the Spirit of God, and it's available to every Christian. But it's important for us to understand this so that we can walk in it. And failing to walk in it, failing to understand this, failing to move in these things will keep us in a place of failure and defeat through our entire Christian life. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Romans 8:37 says we're more than conquerors through Him. How are we going to be more than a conqueror without the power of God operating in our life? And 2 Corinthians 2:14 says that we're always going to triumph through Christ. How are we going to triumph without the power of the Spirit operating in our life? Jesus said that we would do greater works, do the same works He did. Well, what did He do? Healed the sick, cleansed the leper, raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. John 14:12 says that, "Behold, the works that I do shall ye do also, and even greater works." Well, how in the world are we going to do those things without the power of the Spirit operating in our life? God promises in 1 Corinthians 15 that God always gives us the victory. Always. Well, how are we going to go ahead and gain the victory without the power of the Spirit operating in our life? How are we going to walk in the supernatural supply and provision of God without the power of the Spirit operating in our life? By now, it should be evident that most Christians today, I bet you most people you know, have no power in their life and are walking far beneath the level of victory and abundant life that the Word of God promises. It should be evident by now that most Christians today have no power, and they're walking far beneath the level of victory and abundant life that the Word of God promises, every one of us. Maybe that's you. I know that I used to be there, but then I fell into the category of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, where Paul said, "Hey, listen, brothers, when it comes to the things of and pertaining to the Spirit of God, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be lacking knowledge and understanding." I fell right into that category. I didn't have much information at all. I didn't know much about it. And what I did believe, I believed incorrectly because I was taught incorrectly. Amen. And so I was lacking knowledge and I was lacking understanding. I had no power, and it was evident in my life. In debt, sick, broke, busted, defeated, just couldn't seem to overcome. Could never seem to get the victory. I mean, I could hold my head above the water, but I could never get over. In debt, like most people, couldn't get out. Matter of fact, the more I tried, the deeper I got. And the more miserable and frustrated I got. But that's not what God has for us. You see, we're not supposed to be ignorant about these things. And God wants us to walk in these things. And in order for us to do that, we need to make sure that we are not ignorant, but rather walking in wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of our understanding being open, being filled with light, so that we're able to know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what's the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe. And the only way that's going to come is by wisdom and revelation of the Holy Ghost through the Word of God, by being taught it, by studying it, by giving ourselves over to it, by asking God to open our eyes to help us to see the truth, and then beginning to apply it and to walk in it by faith. That's the only way. Now, there's many things that I want to talk about. We're going to keep on going, but we're not going to finish it today. And so what I want to do right now is I just want to stop here. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. If you have listened to this online, if you have watched the program, if you've heard the CD, it may very well be necessary for you to listen to this several times. The Word of God says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our knowledge is increased as we increase our knowledge. And I understand that there was a lot of information that I just gave you. And so you may very well have missed some key points. I would encourage you to go back and listen to this again. I would encourage you to give yourself over to this subject because it's going to make the difference in your life. It will change your life. And I would encourage you to join us next time. Make sure that you're here for our next meeting when we go ahead and we talk about this more. Praise God. You don't want to miss any of this. I want to thank you for the opportunity to come here and to minister to you. I want to thank God for those of you that are listening online or watching this or have a copy of the CD. Understand that you're able to listen to these things online for free anytime at BibleCities.com. And so praise God. Let's just take a second. Let's just thank God for what He shared with us tonight by His Spirit. Father God, we just thank You so much for the opportunity to minister Your Word. We thank You, Lord God, for opening up our eyes to some things. We thank You, Father God, for showing us the truth in Your Word. We thank You, Father God, for helping us to understand the truth regarding this subject. Lord, You told us You don't want us to be ignorant regarding the things of and pertaining to the Spirit. And so, Father, we're just asking You to continue to open our eyes, to show us the truth, and to help us to walk in these things. Help us to understand them so we can do them, so we can walk in them. Lord, we thank You so much for the truth of Your Word. We thank You for being a good God, a gracious God, and a merciful God. And for all that You showed us today, we just want to give You all the praise, all the glory, and all the credit now and forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
We trust that this message has ministered to you. For the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.biblecities.com.